You're listening to Called to Homeschool, episode number 23.
This is your manual to becoming the amazing homeschool mom you were called to be.
All right, welcome back.
Hello, hello. We're on episode number 23.
Yes, all about organization.
Yay!
I gotta tell you, this is my jam.
And it is not mine.
So I think that's great that we're gonna see two perspectives. Mm-hmm. I feel like if there was a Tetris mastermind event, I would win hands down.
Oh, you always talk about how good you are at packing cars.
Yes, ridiculous.
Yeah.
And like my fridge and you know, it was so sad when I go to the grocery store, when I load the cart. I mean, the conveyor belt, I like to make it as organized as humanly possible and make it fit geometrically. But my mind can see like how it
fits.
That's
amazing. My mind does not see that or work that way at all.
I know,
all.
And neither does my husband.
So
he's like,
I live kind of in beautiful chaos, but I try hard.
But it's beautiful. And that's like where you are.
It's not always beautiful.
So I'm super excited about this. We've had people ask us about organization. Mm-hmm. So I was like,
yeah,
yes.
This one's from a reader request. So thank you for your comment.
We do read them. So
we do. We read every one of them.
We haven't been
so
reading.
Leave us some more. There haven't been any in a little while.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah, I know. I was hurting. No, but we do read your comments and we take them to take note on them. And this was a reader request. So I can try and find that comment because it was actually a super good one.
Okay. Well, if she does that, I'm going to just talk about that. Sometimes people worry because it's called lifestyle porn. It's like, it really has a name of where you show your glamorous, beautiful life. And so sometimes with homeschool rooms, it's like the hand-drawn chalkboard of their art. I just saw this, so I'm not bashing this lady because I was like, whoa, I want to homeschool with you.
I've seen those pictures.
And they draw like the life cycle of a bug, mm-hmm. and it's on chalk and it's beautiful. And like, so then people think, oh, so if I don't have a homeschool room, then I can't make this work.
Right.
So I'm going to kick my kids outside or they're going to sleep in a tent or the garage so I can have a homeschool room.
A picture perfect homeschool room.
Right.
Yes.
So I have had homeschool rooms and I don't right now because I had a baby. Number 7 took my
He took her room. Okay. Here's our beautiful comment from, I don't know how to say this. Joelot.
Is it like Charlotte? Like
maybe. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm really bad at pronunciation apparently. Okay, but she says, hi, I've really been enjoying your podcast and was wondering if you could do an episode on how to organize your supplies and curriculums. I have so much stuff between the art, markers, crayons, paint, paper, etc., math, cube counters, bear counters, abacus, etc., and the science, circuit sets, microscopes, magnifying glasses, etc. I don't have an easy way to just grab supplies and get started. I have to move everything around all the time. Arg, how do teachers do it? Thank you, Melissa.
So
Melissa, thanks for that awesome request.
Yes, so you inspired this episode. Mm-hmm. We are excited. So when I have had a homeschool room, I've just always utilized a closet for storing things. It's super easy and you can close the doors and you can even lock the doors so people can access the homeschool room.
Yeah. I used to have one of those big two-door cabinet closet things.
Oh, okay.
And it got old and fell apart. I don't have that anymore. But not every room has a closet. So there are ways that you can create storage space for when you don't have a closet accessible. I know one great space is to just take over the hall closet as a homeschool storage area, you know, or the linen closet or whatever you might have. But there's not always that option. So
there isn't. And so because I live with a zoo and because I have so many kids, not a literal zoo, but like there isn't a lot of space for just stuff.
Yeah.
So I am a huge minimalist. If you're not using stuff, sell it or donate it. My husband thinks he doesn't love that I do this, so I don't get rid of his stuff anymore because I want to stay married.
we have that problem too in our house.
But like if I haven't used it for a while, then I probably don't need it anymore. Mm-hmm. And that I can get rid of it.
Yeah, I think that's really important as well because you do start accumulating a lot of things as homeschoolers. And I, every year, try to go through my supply of curriculum and my extras, you know, all those manipulatives and those kinds of things, and really evaluate whether it's something we use, whether we used it this last year, whether I'll use it this coming year, and if it's worth keeping anymore. Because very often you'll hang on to things thinking, I'll use that again, I'll use that again, or I spend good money on that, I'm not getting rid of it. And we just keep hanging on to them and they keep gathering dust and keep just taking up space, valuable space.
Yes.
And it's not important to keep all of those things forever.
No. And then you can, so I did, my first math curriculum you used was Matthew C. I have no beef with it. We just wanted to try different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I held on to those teacher books for years because I'm like, I paid for these teacher books. Mm-hmm. I need to keep them.
Mm-hmm.
But I've used 3 other math programs since. And yeah. So I finally got rid of them. I think I just donated them because in where we are in Utah, sometimes cute mamas will host like homeschool swaps.
Yeah.
So like, hey, I'm getting rid of these, but I could use that. And so you don't even have to pay for it.
Right.
So you could totally start something like that in your area.
There's also Facebook groups that do that where it's, I don't remember exactly what they're called, but there's like curriculum swap groups where you can go in and donate things and people will just pay the shipping to get them to wherever they are around the country.
Yeah. So that's a good way. Like if you feel bad about just throwing it away or just dropping it off at a, it's called DI here, but what a like
savers. Goodwill.
Goodwill. Thank you. I know there was another name. Other places.
Or a thrift store.
There we go.
Right. So yeah. And one other thing is you don't really need all the things you think you need.
No.
I'm learning that more as I go on, that I really want less and less. And the less I have, the easier it is to control and manage the clutter and
yes.
stuff.
Yes, and I think we talked about that too, like how much more elaborate we were in the beginning.
Yes.
And my kids don't remember any of it. And so that was enough for me to go, oh, okay, so what do I actually need? And our friend Anne-Marie, I don't know if we've talked about her before, but we want to have her on, and we love her. But her saying is, when in doubt, throw it out.
Yeah.
And so I do that a lot.
You know, I just thought of something there in our homeschool group. There was a group of women that was doing this Montessori bin swap. That did you do that?
I did not.
I didn't take part in it, but I kind of watched it happening. I think I signed up and then didn't end up doing it. But what they would do is they would put together a box of themed activities. It would have books and, you know, hands-on learning type things. And they would get to keep it for a month and their kids could learn from it. And then they would rotate them. And then each person would get a different themed box. Yeah, so you're not storing all of the stuff. You would just put together one of those kits and then everybody could rotate and you would have really high quality, nice learning materials, but you wouldn't have to store it all the time. So you could create something like that in your area if you want to have more of those kinds of things but don't have the space or the money to do it all.
That is awesome. That's a great idea. That's a great way to save money too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have, if you don't know by now, the best gift of making up cool names. So I went to IKEA and we bought School on Wheels. And it's just those metal carts that are 3 layers and it has wheels on the bottom. I think a lot of people use them in their kitchen.
Yeah, or art supplies.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we have School on Wheels in my big room because we don't have a school room anymore. And Karn and I both have a multi-purpose room. Mine actually has my kitchen table, couches, TV, bookcases. Like they're both big rooms.
They're above the garage
rooms.
Yeah,
both of us have the same, probably same size room. That's cute. But like, it's like, I think it's 600 square feet or something. Like, it's
a good
size. I don't
remember mine is, but yeah, it's big. Mine's big.
Yeah, they're both big rooms. And so School on Wheels lives in there. And in her, like, she's a person, but in her are all the things I do as a group. So when we meet together, we meet in my big room and we do, every year it changes, but right now we do our Greek and Latin roots. We do read aloud and we do subject of the day. Mm-hmm. And that's all. And then that's all that lives in her. So anything that goes with those things. So if I need a CD player, that's on one of the shelves. If I need any extra little supplies for stuff that we're doing with our subjects of the day, it lives in School on Wheels.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea.
Where's your stuff in your big room?
I was going to tell you, I'll share a link to this in our show notes and you can see an actual tour of my room that I've put together. But my room is our school room, our playroom, and my office. So it's kind of all combined into one. And it's a really great space. I love it. But because so much is in there, so much is happening in there, it tends to get pretty messy. So I have to be really strict about the organization in that space. So I have a big shelving unit of those cube shelves with the bins, the fabric bins that go in them. And I sort those kind of by subject. So I'll have a math one, a language arts one, an art one. There's six of them, I think. And so they're just sorted by category. And when those are overflowing or too full, we have to sort through them and, you know,
pull stuff out.
Yeah. Clean them out and get rid of some things, because they tend to fill up and things get put in the wrong bins often for my little ones that just throw them in when cleaning.
Yeah.
But I have that. And that's a big part of my organization for all of the extra little things. And then right next to my desk, I just have a great big set of shelves that I keep all of our subjects that we're doing together. And then my kids have also IKEA, but the little, I don't know what they're called, but it has like six little drawers on it. It's a white shelving unit that you put under a table.
From IKEA.
From IKEA. So we have the long tables, and then they each have their own little drawer unit that just fits right underneath the table. So it's holding the tables up.
Oh, so they have a lot of drawers that they can use.
Yeah, but they're small drawers. But they're school books, and they have their own pens and things inside each of those, and notebooks and whatever they may need, the papers they think are so important to save that year. And then at the end of each school year, or just before, we're doing it this last week, we've been cleaning them out and making them throw away all those art projects or coloring pages or whatever they saved throughout the year and clean them out and save just one or two favorites, and then the rest can go. And that's how my stuff is organized for the most part.
Oh, that's awesome. So you've heard me talk about Minute with Mom often.
Yes.
And so I didn't want School on Wheels was already full. So we have Sister School on Wheels, and she lives, there is a very comfy couch. Karen indulges my weirdness. But Sister School on Wheels lives in a different room because I like to do Minute with Mom where it could be quiet. And I love the one-on-one time. Like, that is my favorite part of my homeschool, is Minute with Mom. So Sister School on Wheels has all the supplies for Minute with Mom. She has like markers, flashcards. If I'm reading with like my third grader, we still read some of his books together. So I just keep those in Sister School on Wheels. If I have teacher checking books, like I know the Good and the Beautiful Language Arts program has a teacher's book. Yep. So I keep those in there. And that's in another room, Sister School on Wheels. And I love that mine are on wheels so that I can always be willing to adapt. That I wanted, like, my goal is to be able to like pick up and go on an adventure. Mm. And so if like, hey, let's go live in St. George for the week, that I can be like, load up the School on Wheels and Sister School on Wheels and get out of here.
That's awesome.
But then I did the drawers as well from IKEA for my kids. So I got the ones that are four drawers.
Okay.
So they're a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
And I have two sets of them. So, cause I have seven kids, and so everybody has their own bin, and I love them because it has all their books in it, all their school supplies, and they can just take out the bin and do school wherever they want.
Yeah.
And then, like, there are rules that just when before dinner, all their school stuff needs to be picked up, put in their bin, and put away.
Yeah, same. So another big part of the organization is the books. Are the books?
I do have a system. My oldest loves books too. He helped me reorganize like our whole bookcase. And I thought, you're a beautiful soul.
I kind of love reorganizing my bookcase. I do that every so often.
I could see that.
I really like books a lot. We have a lot of books. And so that takes up a big part of our schoolroom or bookshelves. And I have them organized by, well, first there's like the board books and the picture books. Mm-hmm. And I have nonfiction picture books. So they have their own little section versus just like storybooks, you know. And then there's the big shelves that have all of the chapter books. And those are organized by category if they're educational. And then we have like a whole classic book section and then just like my kids' free reads that are just whatever.
Yeah.
Like, where do you put Candy Shop Wars? I don't know. It's just got its, you know, just the fun bookshelves. So they're like, I have a history section, a science section, a math section, like a language arts with like the poetry books and things like that in a section. And then a whole classic book section so that they can choose from those for their literature books. And then, so that's kind of how I've got my books.
Yes, we have. We were lucky. We did some when we were been remodeling. We built in bookcases, and so in my front room, that's where just books are, and that they are separated into religion, little kid books, junior novels, like just all those fun little things. And then in my big multi-purpose room, I have two bookcases in there, and one is just full games. And the other one are all school books. And that one is divided into science, history, And so then I know, like, if I want to get a poetry book, I know I go to my poetry section and then I have to look through there. They're not alphabetized. Or
no, mine aren't either. They're just kind of by section. Yeah. Well, I have tried to keep them more organized, but my kids put them back wherever. And so I finally gave up on that and just kept them by category. It's easier for them to just figure out, oh, that's where those type of books go.
Yeah. So next, Karen and I kind of both have the same system with our kids, but a way to keep their, what they're doing organized is giving them a checklist.
Yes.
And so when we do like our first day of school of the new term, my kids get to design their cover. And that's been really
fun. Is this like a notebook cover?
Yeah. Okay. So, well, no, it'll be for their checklist cover. It's lovely.
What is it covering?
Sorry. 12 weeks of what they do every day.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
And then I get it bound after.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
So yes, I used to design it myself and I was having fun, like Porter's Book of Awesomeness, Ethan's Book of Courage. And
okay.
Be, like, funny graphics.
So you put a cover on their bound schedules.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. I was trying to understand what you meant.
I know. I was thinking we'll have to do some homeschool, like some stories to show.
Definitely.
All these pictures. But it's been cute. Like Tessa's summer book, she called it Tessa's Book of Cucumbers.
That's cute.
And it has the cutest drawing of cucumbers.
Aww.
And I'm like, yum. And I think it's sweet. And I love seeing their funny personalities. And Joshua, who's like, I hate anything art. So I drew it for him. And it's like a boy holding a sign that says, I love my mom so much. And it made him giggle way hard. Like, ha ha, very funny. But it's fun, like, if you're creative ones,
yeah,
like, they can like go that over the top, and you're ones who couldn't care less, like, you can just write their name on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it just has every week, it has for the whole semester. So I don't like being put into a box, and I didn't want, like, a full checklist with my kids, but they didn't know what to do mm-hmm. if I didn't give them one. And we actually even had to do time limit, because if they got into a book they loved, they would read Corrie Ten Boom for 3 hours and not read anything else.
Yeah.
So on their cute little checklist.
I feel like that's really a problem.
I know. It's a funny problem to have. We had to make books a privilege. Like if you've lost your privileges, you lose books.
Yeah,
like,
we've gone through that as well.
It's really great. Like it'll say history and then what your history book is, what days of the week you read it.
I need
how
to
long
see pictures
you read
of this.
It. Okay. And how I have it organized, so I used to have it in Excel, but then my husband wiped my computer clean for me. And so now I have to use Google Sheets because it hasn't been reloaded back on.
Mm-hmm.
But so I just have it saved every year, every term, what each child mm-hmm. is doing in all their books. So I can go back for the last how many ever years, maybe 5 years since I've done it this way, that I can say, okay, Porter, when he was in eighth grade in this term, these are the books he mm-hmm. read. And
which is nice because you could pull that up for the next eighth grade child that comes up and tailor it for that child, but base it on that previous schedule.
And what's great is if I'm having a lot of them read the same books, mm-hmm. I can be reading those books.
Yeah.
So then it's a great dialogue.
Because you've read them already.
Because I've already read them. Mm-hmm. And so like The Hiding Place, sorry, that's the one coming to my mind. I've had most of my children read that book.
Definitely worth reading.
Like, go read it right now if you haven't.
Life-changing
book. And go read it. But so then we can talk about so many lessons, and we're now bridging the gap of ages
mm-hmm.
because big kids have read it. Now younger kids have read it. Tess read it last year at 10. She turned 11 while reading it. But like, it's a great book.
Yes.
So anyways, that's a reason why I do that too. So then I can know like, oh, this is a good book. Reuse this one. Or if a kid gets a book and says, Mom, please don't make me finish this book. Mm-hmm. Then I know, okay, scratch that one off. Mm-hmm. Don't make anybody else read that book.
Yeah, we've had some of those.
Yeah.
But yeah. So if you don't have a dedicated homeschool room, it's really okay. It's not a problem. You can make it work with a lot of different smaller storage solutions. I've seen a lot of people get this is a big one in the Good and the Beautiful chatter groups. They're just these bins that snap closed, smaller,
okay.
with the handle on top. And you can fit like all your kids' school books and then pencils and stuff right on top. And has little I can't
handles.
Think of words. little drawer things or little like cubby spaces in the top. It's cool. I'll have to share a link to that as well, because it's a really neat little bin that you can use to organize your kids' supplies. So people will use that, or they'll just use, you know, everyone has one little cubby that they keep their things in. I've done crates in the past before we have our current setup. I got each kid their own plastic crate. Just like the ones they sell at Walmart at back to school time, those colored ones.
Oh, yes.
And they could pick their color, and they were super excited to have their own special color of crate. And they kept all their books in it, and that was very portable and could be done wherever. So they loved that as well, and we just would tuck them under a table. And there's just a lot of different ways you can do it. You definitely don't have to have your own school room.
But I was going to say real quick, I probably just dissed it too much. If that speaks to you, like having beautiful school room that is Instagram, Pinterest worthy, own it, sister.
Definitely.
Like, go for it. It's not for me. Like, to keep it up is more work than it is to homeschool. So, like,
It's true.
And so, like, I've done lots of fancy things and cutesy things, and it's for me. But if that makes you feel good, like, I just want it to be pretty. Like, my sister has the gift of making things pretty. And I was like, how do you do this? Like, when I do, like, it always looks like a five-year-old slapped things together.
No, but you do organized well.
But
so that's okay.
Well. It's functional. But, like, if beauty speaks to you, own it. Like, totally.
Definitely.
Do your big, beautiful room if you want it. But know that, like, if you can't, you have a homeschool room, and both of us make it work awesomely.
And don't let yourself feel the pressure of trying to have that either, because that's not the important part of homeschooling.
No, like, if your biggest worry is your room, then maybe you should shift your focus a little bit of connecting with your kids and stuff like that. Like, don't let the room be the worry.
Right.
We already talked about fear. Like, don't let being homeschooled, right? I talked to my daughter about this the other day, that she doesn't want to exercise. Like, well, if I had this, then I would exercise. Well, if I had this, and I said, I could go to Lululemon and blow $200 and buy you fancy clothes and then go and get you nice shoes. But the bottom line is, you just don't want to do it.
That's true.
Having a fancy room is stopping you from homeschooling, you just don't want to homeschool. Like, you're afraid and you need to have the courage, like, pretty room or not, I'm just going to figure it out. Go listen to last week's episode of having faith and taking that leap of faith. So just don't let the room be the hang up. The room can be fun and beautiful, but don't let it be the hang up.
Yeah.
That was on my soapbox.
It's a good one. It's all right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for tuning in today, and we hope this helps you.
Yeah, I think we'll have to do some YouTube videos.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Of our rooms and of our stuff, and I think that will make it easier, as I'm saying, drawers and Sister School on Wheels, that you can actually see what I'm talking about.
Yeah, same. Yeah. It's good stuff. And we'll show you some videos and some pictures of what our systems look like.
Oh, that'll be awesome. It'll be fun. And then you'll see, like, we're totally human and that our houses are messy too.
Yeah.
And our kids are funny and say weird things. So just like their mom. All right, friends. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Called to Homeschool. Be sure to subscribe, and we'd love to hear your comments or questions. You can find all our show notes on calledtohome.com.